Because Tazir Mitzar is double parsha, right? It's a, because Pesach's already over for everybody, so it's double for everybody. So this year we're all lined up. So I'm going to talk about actually the Mitzorah part, which is about the purification of Mitzorah. So the description of Tzorah is from is in Parsha Tezria. Mitzorah starts with the purification. It's about the Mitzorah, and this is first one. This is the procedure for the one who has tzaraat in the day that he becomes pure. Uvah is brought to the Kohen. The Kohen goes out to see him because he's been kicked out of the camp. And it looks and look, the lesion of tzaraat has been healed. Kohen mita. And the Kohen tells them what to do, and then they take two live birds, it's Erez and cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet thread. It's about Kohen v'shachayis, and they slaughter one of those birds, and they save its blood into a earthenware vessel. It's yipora. And with the live bird, they take it, it's Eitz HaErez, and the cedar, Vetchniyat HaLat, and the scarlet wool, Vet HaZov, and the hyssop branch, Vetivalo Tam, Vetzipor HaChaya, and they bundle them together, and they dip it along with the bird in Bedamat Zipor Shechutah, in the blood of the shechted bird. Alamayim Chayim, with some running water. These Alamitahar, and they sprinkle that onto the one who'd be purified, and then he will be pure. And they send the bird out, and the living bird is sent to fly away. And then the one who's being purified washes clothes, and he shaves his head and all of his hair, and then he washes it himself, and he's pure. And he can come back into the camp. They can't go home for 7 days. That's part one of the ceremony. And we know that tzaraat is classically caused by lashon hara. When I say lashon hara, that's a punishment for lashon hara. It comes from a number of places, but the most obvious one is in Devarim, when it says, Hishamar b'negat tzaraat, be careful about tzaraat. So be careful and do exactly. Do everything the Kohanim tell you, as they were commanded. So that you need to be careful to do. Be careful, tzarat. And the next pasuk is same paragraph. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. When you went out of Egypt. What happened to Miriam? She spoke about Moshe, Yisha Kushit, and she got tzaraat. So Ibn Ezra on this says, Hinei raya al drash shal atigri mitzara ela motzi shem ra. Ibn Ezra is very pshat oriented. Says, you know, that the idea that mitzara, he says it says a hint from motzi shem ra, says lashon hara. That's a drash. That's not really pshat of it, but here it's actually pshat. Clearly, what's telling you is that what Miriam did that led to her tzaraat. Way back in Parshat Berotcha, that's connected with Sarah.
It's still interesting though, because it's like a little bit offhand, backhand, I don't know what the right word is. Like, it doesn't just say, like, don't do this, pen, whatever. Like,
Right. No, right. It's the fact they're next to each other.
juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition, using our words here. The juxtaposition, which makes it obvious that, right, doesn't say, it just says, be
But even
careful,
that
Tzaraat.
is still like vague. It doesn't even say because, like, oh yeah, and Miriam spoke
Because,
lashon hara, and she's
right.
like, remember what happened with all that. It's a little.
Right. So, and Tzaraat is talking about being caused by other things, but everyone knows about lashon hara there. And so this is what Rashi explains, that the nature of this, the whole purification ceremony with the birds, that's because of lashon hara, right? That's Rashi for the feast in Agim, but in a lashon hara. Tzaraat comes because of lashon hara. That's people just talking and chattering. They're twittering. That's why he brings these birds, because birds twitter. So that symbolizes what Lashon Hara comes from. And I always joke that for 3,000 years, no one really understood the connection between tweeting and slander.
They say, like, right, everything is in the Torah.
Right. So, and so, that it was, in fact, that's what the name Twitter comes from, is the idea of just random, just talking. And this is a quote from an interview with Jack Dorsey. You're not capturing the name, you're not capturing the feeling, the sensation that you're buzzing your friend's pocket. So we looked in the dictionary, came across the word Twitter. It was perfect. Definition was a short burst of inconsequential information, chirps from birds. That's exactly what the product was. That's what Twitter is. It's a great way to spread Lashon Hara. So that's why we bring the birds that are doing all this tweeting and twittering. Tweeting, I guess, is the right verb there. As a sign of, sure, getting away from Twitter, and the Lashon Hara that enjoins. That's part one of the ceremony. I'm going to look at part two. 7 days after that bird ceremony, the Mitzorah, who's a mid-Taher now, he doesn't have Tzorat anymore, he's now becoming completely pure. He's Tahar, but he still can't go in the Beit HaMikdash until he saves again, and then he brings another set of Kabbalah. He continues. On the eighth day, he takes two sheep, two male sheep, and one female sheep, and three astronim, measures of fine flour that go with the carbonate, a log of shaman and a log of oil. The mina kohen hamitaher, and the kohen who's doing the ceremony of purification stands the at the ish hamitaher, stands a person being purified. The otam and the stuff he's brought with the Hashem Petachomay, and he stands there in the entrance to Omoid, in the entrance to Beit HaMikdash, because he still can't go inside yet. Not until after the ceremony is done. And they shach his animals, they offer his animals, v'shachar ha-keves, v'mkumashe yishchat ha-chatat, and they slaughter one of the sheep where a chatat is normally slaughtered, about v'tolav, v'mkum ha-kodesh, and they slaughter one of the minas of Allah, yichach chatat ha-sham hu la-kohen, kodesh kodeshim hu. Because this is like an Hashem offering, the Kohen is going to eat it. But I want, and the Kohen takes some of the blood from this slaughtered Hashem offering. And dabs some of it on the right ear, on the tragus, which is the middle part of the ear of the mitaher. Valboina dominit on his right thumb, Valboina rogo yamanit on his right great toe. Which is weird. He doesn't just sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach, he actually sprinkles it onto the Mitaher himself.
Are there any other Korbanos that, like, we have all these very specific body parts like that?
Only one. We'll look at that. This is weird. Then the Kohen takes the oil, Yitzhakal Kapo Kohen Asmalit, and he puts it into his left hand. And the Kohen puts his right finger into this oil on his hand, that's in his hand. And he sprinkles it 7 times before Hashem onto the Mizbeach. And the rest of the oil that's on his hand, the Kohen puts onto the ear of the Kohen, of the person being purified, on the person's right thumb, on his right great toe. Adam Hashem, the place where the blood was dabbed as well. So clearly he's got this ear, thumb, toe. Very strange. Only one other place it appears. Mentioned in Savet, described in Parshat Tav, where they actually inaugurate the Mishkan and the Kohanim. This is where the Kohan. This is the Kohen's matriculation ceremony. Yes. And it says about the Kohanim, by Kreva to Isle Sheni, the Isle of Meluim, and the second Isle, the second ram is brought. They spoke Aron about Navi to the Emel Rosh Isle, and they put their hands on it. And then Moshe shechted it. And the Moshe takes their blood and puts it on the tragus of Aaron's right ear, on his right thumb, same exact place as the Kohen. Again, this is when they're being inaugurated. This is the first time they're going to be called the Kohanim. And then he brings Aaron's sons forward. And Moshe takes the blood on their right ear, on the right thumb, on the right toe. And then he springs it on the Mizbeah. Again, that's the only place we do that. The only place we take the blood instead of just putting it in the Mizbeah is actually put on the person himself. So let's try it. Ear, hand, and foot. Everyone assumes it symbolizes the fact that Kohanim are new people. They're dedicating their entire existence to Avodat Hashem. So there's kind of three parts there. This is Rabbi Bachya. That symbolizes speech. That's part of, and the head and the mind. That's the power of movement, of doing things. And the feet. Bachya says that's the olamateva, nature of your very existence is now dedicated. Just like we sprinkle onto the Mizbeach, it's now sprinkled on you, of mind, power, and existence. And persis, similar, dedication is made first for power of the mind, to hear and drink in thoughts, that's the ear, power of accomplishing deeds, the hand, power of striving, possession, attainments, for going somewhere, that's the foot. Okay, and there's those three parts, because these three parts, now they're all, the coin is now, all of that is now dedicated solely to Hashem. No, those body parts are no longer acting on your own. The symbolism. Not clear how that fits with the Mitzvah, though. So it's becoming tar, but he's not, you know, it's not, he's not like, the coin is now dedicated to something. Sorry, going back to his regular life.
Right, almost sounds like he's going back to like a higher level, like he's doing all this like beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but he doesn't do much more of that. So this is Ari Khan looks at it and says, you know, it really is the same thing. It is a movement of becoming a new person, of rededicating. So it's not so much he's going beyond, but that he has fallen so far book down that he's got to become, you know, get rededicated to be just being a regular Jew. This is our Yarkon. Nira, she dimayona le'el ha-miluim, that the similarity to the Rama, the miluim ceremony with the Kohanim, madgisha tamiyuchad betumata mitzorah, emphasizes that something that's unique about the actual nature of the tuma of the mitzorah. B'choshar mechusrei kapara, and anyone else is tamei who's mechusrei kapara, meaning needs to go to the mikvah, needs any tuma that needs to wait till nighttime. The person gets affected by tuma and it needs to leave, but it's not the person himself, isn't the source of the tuma. That's true of most tuma. Touching a dead body, zav, all that. But tzara'at la umatza, but as opposed, corresponding to that, tzara'at is different. Tuma ena rak yotzeit megufo. Tamei is not something that leaves his body. Ela gufa atzmo davar tamei. That the person's body itself is the source of the tuma. The person's body is tamei. Nechon davar she'efshar haya l'ton she'nega hu rak al or adam. You could claim that, well, it's just on the skin, it's on the outside. It's not something internal. But the fact is that the Mitzora is considered like someone who's dead, halachically, for a lot of purposes. Matzvia illustrates, right?
Alzehut. No,
what? What do you think? So there's really something that's internal. That affects your whole body. It's all about you there. So
Yeah, I
good
think that's
tzaraat.
BS sometimes with like the word etzba, like it means like to point to
Point
something.
out. Oh, okay. I'll go with that.
But I don't know if this is how you spell it, so I'm not sure if that's the same. Like I from hearing it, but seeing it, I'm not sure.
That's why it's definitely with an ayin at the end.
Okay. Like latzbia is like to like point to, I think.
Okay, so that's probably what it is. All right. There we go. English. Pointing.
Montre
There we go. It's montrer du doigt. Oh,
du roi.
pointing. Okay, very good. Actually, what I want to do. I want to correct this here.
Well, now I know how to get into your secret editing website.
Yeah, but you can't save it.
And I don't have your credentials.
What?
I don't have your credentials.
Right. So you could. Okay, but it says that it's something that again, the Tzara is something internal, something about the person, as opposed to something, like a Zav comes out of the person, it makes them Tame, but it's not there. Certainly, good Kapara, but Mitzora, as opposed to other kinds of Tuma, it's not just a carbon that a person brings that changes your status. It needs a more fundamental. You'll more fundamental change. Feel you see right say hut chadasha. You have to become a new person. Tzara nechshav kamet. You need to become a new person. Please end your life and become something different. So it becomes very similar then to the Kohen, who is becoming a new person. Adam atzmo chayav l'shanot zehuto. Person has to change their very existence, their nature. Bitalot mi adam tameh la adam tameh. Go from this tameh person, who's inherently tameh, to someone who's tahar, and that's the nature of tzara. So the kohen does it because they're beginning dedicated to Avodah Hashem. The tzara is similar to the kohen. He has become more dedicated to Avodah Hashem, into becoming a normal person. Here, I think actually more than that, I think there's something specific to the nature of tzara. Again, it's ear and foot, and the all of those are connected to lashon hara. Spreading lashon hara, saying lashon hara is specifically connected to the foot, to going, walking. The Yisr is called lo telech rachil b'amecha. Don't go slam, go being as a slanderer in your people. Lo tamad reacha. Don't stand on your neighbor's blood, as Rashi says. Lo telech rachil. Don't go slandering. Ani umir Hashem shekol mishalchay medanim, that anyone is looking to cause trouble or misaprei lashon hara. You're saying lashon hara. They go from one place to another. They're ragel, in the sense of foot, but also in the sense of spy. They're looking for things to harm. Oh, my yishmurah, what they can hear. It's a parashuk, so they can go tell it to everybody else. And the nikraim holchei rachil. It's talking about going in rechilut. He says holchei rigila. The gimel and the chafer. They're going on. As they're going to regale, and it's espement galaz, literally spying. Okay, and the Moshe Katanu has a dictionary of Rashi's Lazim, old French. Safaria says Rashi must be had to be tui lo telech rachil, and connects it to regale, right? But spio, is it? There it is again. To pointing out a kesher domeh, to say that the words are similar, dato ben, he says in French the same way between espir, which is to spy, regel, ben pit, which is regel, which means the foot.
Oh,
So
that's interesting.
he's saying that he's making the similar pun in French as well. But it's all about regel, so that you're going to put the blood on there to say, okay, this is part of the kapara, is I'm not going to be lo telech rachil. And on the ear, it emphasized that listening to lashon hara is as bad as saying it. That's another part of lashon hara, is actually listening. That's part of it. And that comes from the mechilta. It says lo tisa shem hashav, another iser against saying lashon hara. Don't carry a better food. Don't go with bad people. And Michal said, "Lotisha Shem Hashem, pray Azara leMakabel Lashon Hara." Listening is counts as Tisa as well. You carry Lashon Hara, you can't listen. So that's the ear. So what about the thumb? I don't have a great answer within the Torah concept why that's Lashon Hara, except now we know
the what thumbs.
Thumbs have to do with spreading Lashon Hara. I don't know.
It's interesting because I know it maybe feels like a stretch, but it also, like, again, like everything is in the Torah, and like this is, you know, the thumbs really become an instrument of, have become an instrument of Lashon Hara. It's true, more than any other finger.
Yeah, right. I mean, you say, well, it's the hand, and that's the, you know, writing is another side of, even it, obviously, 3,000 years ago, writing.
But what's so wrong with the Torah being relevant to us right now?
I know, but yeah, it has to be relevant to then as well.
To then as well, right? Right.
They have to have some meaning in there, right? Now I say, obviously, we're on your thumbs, because that's the source of our problems.
No, but the thumb is still like that's what makes you be able to write, like you said, yes. Like having an opposable thumb as opposed to like a paw. You can hold a pencil or a piece of charcoal or burnt wood or whatever. Writing with
carving. Okay, so
yeah, exactly.
That's a massive part of the idea of that this, you know, the ear, thumb, toe is part of the Lashon Hara, that you can't listen, you can't spread it, you can't listen, you can't write it. All those things are part of that. But there's another reason for the ear, thumb, toe, the dabbling of the oil and the blood on there. And this is what I just came across. It's suggested by Abraham Abulafia, 13th century Kabbalist, famous for reading the Mor Nevuchim as a Kabbalistic text, as a way of becoming a Navi. He's very wise, uses Kabbalah and Kameh in the names of Hashem, and I'm sure that the Rambam would have been horrified to have anyone reading his text that way, but it becomes a very important source for sort of the practical Kabbalah. But he's got a commentary on the Torah. This is brought down the Yalkut Reuveni, another collection of more Kabbalistic commentary on the Torah. But specifically, it's interesting because he connects this ceremony to the wedding of Yaakov and Rachel. Came out of the blue. I find it fascinating. We know the story, right? That they get married, and she, and then Laban switches Rachel and Leah, and he ends up being married to Leah. He b'boker v'nehi Leah. In the morning, so Yaakov discovers it was Leah he was married to. Look, I worked for Rachel, your daughter. You tell me why are you cheating me? The Rashi says, but that she is Leah in the morning. At night she wasn't Leah. Because Yaakov and Rachel had planned this out, and Yaakov had given simanim to Rachel. I'll know it's you because I don't trust your father. And when Rachel saw that they were going to switch, they're going to make Leah go in there. Amra, she says, my sister will be humiliated. I can't do that to her. So Amda Masra Lo Otan Siman. And so Rachel gave Leah the siman. Gave up her opportunity to be Yaakov's first wife. And the question is, what are the simanim? What do you mean by simanim? Nobody says this. Nobody says what simanim we're talking about. So I don't know his story. I don't know Abulafi's story. Abulafi claims that what Yaakov told Rachel to do is touch me on the ear, thumb, and the great toe. Exactly those three things. Why? I'm looking at this thing that just the Kohen is reminded. As Per says, mind these directions, be the same Shemayim now. Says, so that's the same true of the husband and wife. That in their most intimate moments, it should still be the same Shemayim. And this is the way I said, Abulafi. Not Abulafi, it's Azulai. I got this name wrong. I may have. Let's, I may have the wrong letter here.
I think those are both like pretty common.
Yeah.
Like,
grandfather Chida.
Sab Sabosal Chida.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person here. So he's 17th century. Okay, I got to edit that. Chesed Avram, yeah, that's Chesed Avram, isn't it? That's where it's from. Okay, so I had the wrong one. I got to change the names on that. Let me do that. Okay, that's easier.
Okay.
So I lied to you. So this is the way he puts it. Zochel isha kshera. You want to have married to a kosher woman. This woman will do the following. She needs to ayade achsha ochezet biyada. She should touch in intimate moments. Be betenuch ozen baala on the ear of her husband ayimani bohan yado ayimani on the thumb of bohan rago ayimani. Symbolize the same things that he goes through it about the dedication to Hashem, all the powers there. Itaken who then that will bring the husband to have the kavanah kei mitzvah ona levad. It will be his acts will be an act of the mitzvah of ona for reproduction only. They're not going to have other thoughts. Lo l'shum tanu klal, won't be trying to get his own pleasure there. That's a higher level of relationship there. That's what Yaakov gave to Rachel. Said, you're going to do this. Not so much as a proof that's you, but this is how we should act in private. So that's what she told Leah, you need to do these things and he'll know it's you. Which connected to the Kohen, not so much to the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, I don't think, isn't reflecting directly this connection with the Kohen.
It's Mitzorah all... Is,
what?
No, no, I'm right.
Okay. I think Mitzorah is invoking the simanim that Rachel gave to Leah. Not so much the simanim, but the fact that she gave the simanim there. We've talked about before that what that meant of giving the simanim to Leah was, I don't want someone else to be embarrassed. I'm willing to give up the most important thing in my life because I do not want my sister humiliated. It's the agada of the simanim, and similarly, the pshat of the story of the Dudaim, and Leah gave the Dudaim to Rachel. Rachel said, Lachem Yishkav, that Yaakov will be with you, and Leah gives birth to Yisachar. That's the Sachar. It shows that Rechel, despite they're literally Tzarot. That's the word for co-wives.
Tzarot is the name for.
Yes, it's Tzarot, the name for having two wives. The two wives are Tzarot to one another. Literally, that is a Hebrew word. Still, they don't. They care about each other's feelings. They didn't want to let each other be embarrassed. So Sarah happens when people tear themselves apart. That's what Lashon Hara does. So we're reminding the Mitzorah here that we invoke this gift of the Simanim that Rachel gets to Leah. That's saying that they can now pull themselves together. That's what brings people back together again. This act of giving the Simanim and the Agada. We have that famous Yirmiyahu, Amar Hashem, Kol Barama Nishma, Nihi Bochea Tamarim. There's this bitter cry in Ramah, Rachel Mavaka Al Baneha, Rachel's crying. Manel Hi Nachem Al Baneha, she refused to be consoled, because our children are lost. So Kol Hashem, Mani Kol Lech Mi Bechi, Hashem tells her, stop crying. Because there's a reward for what you did. Hashem says, Lord, oh, yeah, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is some hope for your future. And your children returned to their borders. It will end. And the question is, what is Yisachar Patech? What did Rachel do? Yisachar Patech. This is the Matsuda quoting the Tanchuma. Amar Razal, B'shasha Amid Menashe Demut Behechal. As soon as Menashe, king of Yehuda, stood and put an idol into the Midas, and Hashem decided, I'm going to destroy them all. And then Rachel stood before Hashem and said, "Hello, Rachamechem Rubim Rachmei Basar Badam. Your mercy is greater than any human mercy. Vani halone chnesti tzarati. That's a tzara, right? I allowed my tzara betoch beiti into my house. Ki batzmi masarti esmanim, because I gave her those simanim. Yad leah achlati to my sister. Right? I was willing to accept that rather than have her be humiliated." So to you, to Hashem, and if your children are bringing another wife, we're being, it's adultery to Hashem. They're bringing another idol in there. Forgive them. So Hashem says, so here I will now reward you for what you did back then. To gave over those simanim. Moshe Yeshuv Banim Me'eretz Oyev, and that will be the good that the people who come back from Galut. It's really not pshat. I think it's a nice way to turn this, to cure the Mitzvah, right? This ceremony that we're giving the Mitzvah has to come back to society. Cure for Lashon Hara is this stark moment of not embarrassing someone. That moment of Rachel Flea is the lesson that the Mitzvah needs to learn in order to come back into the community. And I like that way of looking at it.
It's interesting because, like, usually when we think of Lashon Hara, it's not, we don't think of it as specifically, you know, like embarrassing somebody else like that. So that's.
I don't know. What do you think of Lashon Hara doing?
I don't know. I guess I
think that, yeah, it's, you know, it's,
think of like, hurting, causing damage, pain, yeah. But I mean, that is embarrassment. Like,
yeah,
how
right.
That's
right. So this is going the other way. We are going to do something to avoid hurting someone else. That's where you need to go, that other extreme over there. Okay, I'm going to stop here. It's late. Okay. Hey, Noah, are you waking up? What do you think? No, I'm gonna cuddle.
No, she's gonna eat and then she's gonna be awake and then she's not gonna.
Yay! Kids are gonna be back in school.
Yeah, they went back Friday.